Our gospel for this day is the gospel according to St. Luke, the 15th chapter, beginning with the 11th verse. This is a passage of scripture which I believe is familiar to most, if not each and every one of you. As you listen to this passage of scripture today, I want you to listen to it in the context of God's amazing grace. And listen to it in the context of how the soul of the forgiven son must have soared. Jesus continued, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, 'Father, give me my share of the estate.' So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all that he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, 'How many of my father's hired men have food to spare, and here I am starving to death? I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired men.' So he got up and he went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. The son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' So they began to celebrate. Meanwhile, the older son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked him what was going on. 'Your brother has come,' he replied, 'and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has him back safe and sound.' The older brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, 'Look, all these years I've been slaving for you and have never disobeyed your orders. Yet you've never given me even a young goat so that I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours who has squandered your property with prostitutes comes home, you kill the fattened calf for him?' 'My son,' the father said, 'you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad, because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and now is found.'" Please pray with me. Gracious Lord, touch our hearts today. Stir in us your spirit. Allow us to experience your amazing grace. Lord, in those moments when we have been lost and found by you, help us to celebrate, remember and celebrate. And if we are at a point where we still feel lost, Lord, help us be found in your amazing grace. Help us respond. And if there are others in our lives who are lost, send us to help them find your amazing grace. These things and everything else in our hearts and minds this day, we pray in your most holy and precious name. Amen. I invite you to be seated. Well, this morning, as we focus on God's amazing grace, we do so with the gift of music. Music truly does stir our souls and causes us to sing. We seem to be wired for music, aren't we? I mean, from childhood, if somebody were to go M-I-C-K-E-Y, Where does your mind go? Where does your heart go? How is it that you learned the alphabet? A, B, C, D, E, F, G. Wasn't it the gift of music? Way back when I was teaching junior high kids in confirmation, we used to use this song to teach them the books of the New Testament. It goes like this. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, Thessalonians, Timothy, Titus, and Philemon, Hebrews, and then James, Peter, John, Jude, Revelation, ends the Word of God. It was a fun way to learn the books of the Bible, and a whole lot easier than trying to learn them just from memory. So what are your earliest recollections of music and learning? Music has been shown to have an impact in our neurobiological beings. We can have music to either calm us or to stir us to action. Restaurants use music to control the speed and the rate at which people eat. If they want to move you along, they play peppier, faster music so that you eat and you're out of there. If they want to create ambiance where you relax and enjoy the meal, they play music to control. You were controlled by music oftentimes. The media knows this, and so every time they produce a movie, it has a soundtrack. It evokes emotion. It connects us with meaning. It, in many ways, is designed to take us into a deeper existential level. That's the purpose. Many of our famous TV shows have theme songs that if you hum it or hear it, you know what that song is or that show is. I mean, we know Cheers because of the theme song, right? Everybody knows my name, and you know that because of the song. Physicists say that the universe itself, at the smallest subatomic level, is made up of vibrating energy. And this energy is said to connect us with our essence. I love the strings that we had in music in our worship today. You connected us with something that's core at the center of the universe. The sound of music also has a mathematical structure. It corresponds to musical rhythms, melodies, and harmonies, and we respond to that. Musicians are often very, very good in math for that reason. When the Bible says that the morning stars sang together at creation, as it says in Job chapter 38, verse 7, it's a poetic way of alluding to the musical nature of the universe. It is God who uses that statement about the morning stars to summon Job to account. He essentially says that the stars give essence to God's voice. This and other music throughout Scripture alert us to the messages that come to us from God. The angels sing at the birth of Jesus. Scripture is filled with music. The Psalms are intended to be sung. You can just imagine Jesus learning the Psalms through the gift of music, sitting on Mary's knee as she sang Psalm 23 to him and taught him those verses because of music. And finally, the words that we have in our hymns are mostly and by and large made up of Scripture. So it's a way for us to learn Scripture. The liturgy is Scripture put to music, a way for us to celebrate and to learn God's Word. So today, as we have heard Jackie do such a great job of reading Psalm 150, we know that that psalm is all about music and praise. And I want you to listen to it one more time, this time as you listen to Psalm 150, think in terms of God's amazing grace. Think in terms of how God uses the gift of music to come to make this scripture come alive. Praise the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in His mighty heavens. Praise Him for His acts of power. Praise Him for His surpassing greatness. Praise Him with the sounding of the trumpet. Praise Him with the harp and lyre. Praise Him with tambourine and dancing. Praise Him with strings and flute. Praise Him with the clash of cymbals. Praise Him with sound, resounding cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Music can stir our souls. Music can educate us as to God's purposes for life. Listen to these words now and these thoughts about the gift of music.
Perhaps you feel like a gasoline engine running on diesel, or like you're not moving through time, but time is moving through you, or like life is a song and you forgot the tune. During worship services, we sing songs to God. But did you know God sings back to us? In the Bible, Zephaniah says that God gets so happy when He thinks about you that He busts out in song. Ariana Grande ain't got nothing on his angel pipes. How damaged you feel. The Bible says you are God's masterpiece, His poema, from which we get our word poem. And God sings over you, His poetry in motion, turning the minor notes of your tragedy into a symphony. So know this. Life is like a piano. The white keys represent joy. Black shows sadness. As you go through life, remember, black keys make music too.
God uses the gift of music to speak to our joy and to our sorrows. God enables us to experience God's amazing grace in joy and sorrow, the minor and the major chords. God's faith story in our lives depicts our human condition and our absolute need for God. Good spiritual music does that. Perhaps that's why this song, Amazing Grace, is the most requested song at funerals. Those moments when we reflect upon the life of someone just completed here on earth. Perhaps Amazing Grace should also be sung at baptisms. Perhaps we should sing it more often at baptisms and not reserve it for funerals, because it is by God's amazing grace that we are called to live all of our lives. In fact, in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and following, it says this: "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It is a gift of God." That verse was used at my ordination, the day I became a pastor. It was a reminder and has been a reminder for me throughout that the privilege of being a pastor is a privilege granted by God, and it is God's by amazing grace that any of us are able ever to serve. It is by God's amazing grace that he brings us up and that our souls sing during moments of triumph as well. It is by God's amazing grace that God stirs our soul and gives us life profound here on earth and life eternal. So how much do you know about the song, the hymn, Amazing Grace? Watch with me as we hope to learn a little more.
How many of you like Negro spirituals? An old black lady down south showed me something about the Negro spirituals, and I want to share it with you. You know, the black folk down south had more sense by accident than some of us have on purpose. You know what I mean? You didn't hear what I said. I heard an old black lady say, "Son, if the mountain was smooth, you couldn't climb it." Think about that for a minute. But did you know, she said to me, did you know all, just about all Negro spirituals are written on the black notes of the piano? This is absolutely true. You can go home tonight and play almost any Negro spiritual, just play the black notes on the piano. You look skeptical. Now, you can't see it out there, but I want you to watch. Watch. There are five black notes on the piano. And those same five black notes just keep recurring. And you can go home tonight and play almost any Negro spiritual. Just play the black notes. Watch. You know that? Every time I feel the spirit, just black notes. Watch this. That's because the slaves didn't come to America with do, re, mi, fa, sol, la, di, do. That's somebody else's scale, okay? All they had in their musical scale were those five black notes. We know it in music as the pentatonic scale. And they built the power and pathos of the Negro spiritual on five notes. When you study music, you also come across what are known as white spirituals. Did you know that? And they are white composers who work with those, that scale. In early America, they used to call this the slave scale. And I'm going to play for you what some musicologists think is the most famous white spiritual built on the slave scale or just the black notes. Anybody tonight know who wrote that song? I heard it, a man by the name of John Newton. But do you know what John Newton did before he became a Christian? He was the captain of a slave ship. And many believe heard this melody that sounds very much like a West African sorrow chant and wrote the words Amazing Grace and set his words to a slave melody. I looked up that song. I believe God wanted that song written just the way it was written, just so that we would be reminded that as Christians, whether black or white, free or bond, in his eyes, we're all connected. We are connected. And we are connected by God's amazing grace. We are connected by God's amazing grace.
Indeed, we are connected by God's amazing grace. You know, not only was John Newton the captain of a slave ship, but you need to know a little bit more about John Newton, if you're going to appreciate the depth of amazing grace and connect the depth of amazing grace to your own amazing grace story. You see, John Newton was born in 1725 in London to a Puritan mother. His mother was a devout Christian, I should say, and she taught him God's word. She allowed him to know the grace and love of God as she brought him up, but she died when he was only age 7. At age 11, his very tyrannical father, he had a tough dad, took him to sea at age 11. After many voyages and a life in which, as a teenager, he drank heavily and he lived wildly, he was actually pressed into the British Navy. He attempted to desert. He didn't like that lifestyle. It was too disciplined. He attempted to desert, and they flogged him, and they demoted him. And he was so reviled by the people on the ship where he was serving that at one point he was either washed overboard or thrown overboard. The accounts differ a little bit during the midst of a storm. And instead of throwing a life preserver to him or some other flotation device, the people on the ship who served with him, in order to bring him back, harpooned him. They took a harpoon, and instead of just throwing a flotation device, they harpooned him. It stuck in his leg, and they dragged him back on. So despised was he that they didn't care. From that point on, he walked with a limp after he was healed. But during a voyage home on another ship, that ship was caught in a horrendous storm. And he was, it was off the coast of Ireland and almost sank. At that moment, Newton was totally afraid for his life. He was sure the ship was going down. There had been a big gap caused in the hull of the ship, and it was taking on water, and he prayed, and miraculously, all the cargo in the bottom of the ship shifted and plugged the hole. And John Newton took that as a sign from God that God had spared his life. He gave his life to God at that moment in time. He remembered what his mother, his Puritan mother, had taught him. And he realized that it was only by God's amazing grace he'd been saved. And yet, it took a while for him to change his lifestyle. He still was the captain of a slave ship for some time. It was only later, in fact, it wasn't until 34 years later that he renounced his former slave profession. And he worked with others like William Wilberforce to stop the slave trade. So stirred was he by what God had done in his life, and he gradually read God's word and discovered that it was God's amazing grace working in his life. So stirred was he by all of that, that he sought to become a pastor. At first, he was denied. They didn't want anybody as despicable as him being a pastor. But he persevered, and over the course of time, he was allowed to become a pastor. He started a church. And one of the things they did was they created a new hymn or song for every worship service. And John Newton composed many of those. 280 hymns are credited to him. The most amazing is Amazing Grace. The most memorable, I should say, Amazing Grace. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. It's his grace that led him home. Part of the profoundness of that hymn is because it's based on John Newton's life, a life in which he realized that he was wretched in God's sight. He needed God's saving, amazing, unconditional grace. That's the essence of our prodigal son story today, too. Did you notice twice the line is in that story? He was lost but now is found. The father first says it to his own son. He says it to his servants. My son was lost. Now he's found. That's where it found. But then he says it a second time to his older brother, who's still lost in his own self-righteousness. He was lost, and now he's found. So all of us have an amazing grace story, don't we? Don't all of us have a story, a time in our life when we discovered afresh the importance of God's amazing grace in our life? John Newton's story is profound, and God used him in mighty ways to change the course of life here on earth, stopping the slave trade and writing powerful, profound, inspiring hymns. But all of us have a story, don't we? What's your story? In your prayer and action guide, you have a place where it says sermon notes. What I'd like you to do, as Steve plays for us Amazing Grace, what I'd like you to do is just to think for a little bit about an Amazing Grace story in your own life. And what I'd like you to do is to write a thank you prayer to God. You see, Amazing Grace is a thank you song to God. I'd like you to write in your own words a thank you prayer to God for God's amazing grace in your life. And I want you to think in particular about an episode, or maybe even in general terms, about some way in which God's amazing grace has come into your life. So we're going to take a moment. And I want you to write. I want you to take your sermon notes out. I want you to write down a prayer thanking God for his amazing grace. This week on the evening news, I heard a story. It was a profound story. It's a story about a woman who'd gone to a bar, and somehow her purse, her wallet, had disappeared. Don't know if it was stolen there or what happened, but they used surveillance, and they discovered that there was a young man who had taken that purse. What made that purse so important for her to find again was that she had taken her wedding ring off, and it was in that purse, in the wallet portion of the purse. Surveillance showed that a young man had taken it, and they tracked him, and he'd apparently thrown it into a body of water, a bay or a cove. The owner of the bar, although not really responsible, felt responsible. And so at his own personal expense, went and hired divers to go and look for that. And they searched this harbor, and they searched. It took a long time. They finally discovered it. They got the wallet. They returned it to the woman. The ring was still there. The money was gone, but the ring was there. And returned it. Now, that perhaps could have been the end of a really good feel-good story. But the owner of the bar didn't stop there. He sought out that young man, and instead of having him incarcerated, he brought him into his own home. He went through the legal process, because there was some ramifications to what he'd done, but he took on responsibility for this 17-year-old homeless boy, took him into his own home, and gave him a job, and gave him a place to live, and has been working with him. And the young 17-year-old talks about God's amazing grace coming into his life through that bar owner who went above and beyond using God's amazing grace to care for someone who didn't deserve it. I know in my own life, I do not deserve God's amazing grace, yet God gives his amazing grace to each and every one of us. So I hope that that causes your soul to sing this day as you reflect upon your own amazing grace story. Would you pray with me? Gracious Lord, thank you so much for John Newton. Thank you for the way you did not give up on him. Thank you for the way in which you stirred his soul to compose beautiful, powerful music. Lord, thank you for the prodigal son and the amazing grace that you demonstrated to him through the Father. Lord, thanks for the ways in which your amazing grace comes into our lives each and every day. May we truly have our souls stirred by your amazing grace, and may we, by your grace, be stirred to action for your sake and for your glory. In your name, amen.